Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Tanya Maria Xavier, your host of ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. You're listening to our blog talk radio show. It is Sunday, April 29th. It's 5:30 p.m. Central, 3:30 Pacific, and 6:30 Eastern Time. I am very honored to have with us two very special guests. Alphonse Mouzon and Emma Mouzon, his daughter. And Alphonse Mouzon's career as a drummer, composer, arranger, producer, actor, multi-instrumentalist, playing jazz, fusion, disco, funk, pop, or rock, has delighted generations of fans all over the world since the time when he was at the forefront of the jazz fusion movement. And he's the original vibrant drummer, I love his energy, of Fusion Pioneers Weather Report. And his energy is absolutely contagious, and we're going to talk about some of his passions today. And he was born November 21st in Charleston, South Carolina, and Mr. Mouzon is also the CEO of independent record label Tenacious Records. And his daughter, Emma Alexander Mouzon, who is a straight-A student, a singer, actress, screenwriter, who has her eyes set on a career in the medical field. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome both of you. Good evening, Mr. Mouzon. Hello, Emma.
Hi.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's a complete honor to have you. I know you've been busy bees today recording a film, and tell us a little bit about that, Emma.
Oh, yeah. That was actually for my AP Calculus class. We had to just film a short little video, and we were actually doing a kind of like a involving math or calculus, but we were doing a little spoof on the show, The Real Housewives. So we did The Real Housewives of trigonometric functions instead. So it was my idea, and I wrote the script and everything, and it was a bunch of fun filming.
That is fabulous. So how's it coming along? I know Alphonse was editing. Is it finished?
Yeah, we just filmed it today, so Dad's going to be editing it, and it's due this Friday, so he'll have enough time to finish it up.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me give out the phone number to the show should you want to call in and say hello. The number is 949-209-2956. Again, 949-209-2956. Our chat room is open, so if you come to blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople, you can connect with us via chat. And, well, there's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start, but let's switch gears here quickly. I always like to know a little bit about the early beginnings of our guests. Now, of course, Emma, being the daughter of Alphonse Mouzon, she's had plenty of influences, and she's so talented. But Emma, you're acting and you're singing. Give us a little bit about some of your inspirations, of course, other than your father and your brothers. But tell us a little bit about some of the other things you're involved in and your inspiration.
Oh, okay. Well, definitely school is the main factor. You know, I'm always busy with that. But I definitely love sports, and I always look at my dad, you know, for the music side, you know, of everything, whether that's like playing the piano, drums, or something like that. But it's definitely, I always look to my dad. I don't know. He's just a great role model for me, and definitely people out there in the world, you know, that can be great role models as well. But I guess I just look to my family because they're closer to me. Yeah.
Right. That is awesome. And Alphonse, I know you have three children and you're a single dad, and you're very involved in the community. So there's so many special things about you, and I can't wait to talk about so much of it. Your career spans for so many years, and not only as an artist, but as a person, you are really very special. So let's talk about, Alphonse, the early years for you. I know you turned pro at 12, is that right?
Yeah, I was playing drums in a club at 12 years old. I was the only drummer in town. A touring drummer came in with a group from Georgia, and it was an organ trio, organ quartet. I don't know what happened to the drummer. I guess he was drunk, and they needed a drummer to fill in, and so I was the closest drummer around. And I remember having my sisters, Cherry, their older sister, and Mary, who just passed away, God bless her. They woke me up and said, "You got to go play."
Wow.
So, you know, which probably was illegal there, a little kid minor in a club with grown-ups, you know, they're serving liquor and stuff, and I'm playing the drums. But that was good. And they paid me, so that was good. So I turned pro.
Yes, that was good.
Hey, did you do a pro?
Pretty impressive. Now,
Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm sorry?
That was Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes. Now, Robert Plant, in his acceptance speech on behalf of Led Zeppelin at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, named you as one of the band's principal influences, and that's pretty amazing. Well, not really, because you are so incredibly talented, and it stands to reason that you would be such an influence in the lives of so many other artists. But tell me about, I know you've spent time with them. Tell me about your experiences with the group and the drummer, who obviously is the reason why the group has been so influenced.
Yeah, John Bonham, God bless his soul. My influence is through him, because he would listen to my records. And we met Led Zeppelin. I met them when I was with the group, the 11th House, with Larry Coryell, guitar Larry Coryell, and he was his friend with Jimmy Page. So they would come to see us, and when we played London, you know, all the rock bands. Yes, I was good friends with Yes, hang out at their houses and stuff. So, so it was like a mutual respect for the jazz, because we were more like rock and.
Are you there? Did I lose you? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm here.
That's okay.
I just hit the mute. Sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes,
so
I can
hear
you just fine.
What happened was John Bonham, the drummer, he passed away, unfortunately, but he would listen to me every day and turn up the music and get to stir people here. But he was picking up stuff from my drums. I guess the triple stuff that I do, and that's what I teach my drummers now. You know, this is what John was listening to. But I admire his drumming as well. You know, the sound, the bass drum sound, it was very unique back then, too, to have that big open sound. And it's still unique now. So, and we played the Bottom Line in New York. Led Zeppelin, the guys would come and see me and Larry Coryell. Larry Coryell was a guitar player. We had a group with Randy Brecker. And Danny Trifin was the bass player, and Mike Mandel on piano. It was called the 11th House, and we were fusion, jazz rock fusion. And so we would hang out, they would hang out with us. When we go to London, they would come and see us, groups like the Yes, the rock group Yes, they would come and hang out with us, yeah, and take us out to dinner. That's when I first got exposed to Indian food, Yes, the group Yes. So it was a mutual respect, and so I was honored when I heard that they had mentioned my name, because my lawyer at the time, Robert Lynn, his sister back east, had called him and said, "Hey, you know, your client's name was just mentioned on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Robert Plant just mentioned his name." And so Robert called me, Robert Lynn, the lawyer. Yeah. And I said, "No, thanks." So I got the VCR out and taped it. Yeah. And it's on YouTube now. You can go up on YouTube and this write Robert Plant induction speech, and you'll see it.
I saw it. We have, ladies and gentlemen, some great music to share with you. As Alphonse Mouzon just mentioned, he was with the group 11th House. We have some music to share with you. We have, of course, Weather Report and Mind Transplant, which, Alphonse, when I heard that album, I'm not a music buff, or, you know, I don't know much about as far as the art form. But when I heard Mind Transplant, the first thing that came to my mind is that you are a music genius, because you just wrote that entire album, and it's just so awesome.
That's great. This fusion. I didn't know you like fusion. You like everything.
I do. And, of course, we're going to play some music from the Angel Face album, which is the latest project of Alphonse Mouzon and Emma. And I was pretty amazed, first of all, the fact that the album took 11 years to complete. But when I look at the Stepping Stone song that features Emma at the age of 5, age of 12, and age of 13, then I understood why the album took so long, one of the reasons at least. But that's pretty unique. So, Emma, let me ask you a question. We're going to play some of this music a little later, but this album has been a big part of your life. Tell me how significant has this been for you to be part of this project for so long?
Definitely, it was nice to hear the final project in the end, because, you know, recording at like 5 years old, I didn't even remember that. But I remember recording at 12 and 13, so. You know, definitely seeing hearing the final project of, like, all of my voices together over the years really made it, you know, close to home. And it felt like my song, you know. Obviously, my dad wrote, but, like, it felt close to me. So that was definitely nice to hear in the end.
That is awesome. Well, you are a blessed young lady, not only with all the talent that you have, but, you know, to have, as you said, such a role model as your father. And we will talk a little bit about your brothers as well. But let's take a little music break here. As I said, I have some music from the lifespan of Alphonse Mouzon's and Emma's career. I'd like to start with 11th House. And the first one we're going to hear is called Ride On Y'all. We'll be right back. ColoredPeople.net. Tania Maria, your host, with Alphonse Mouzon and Emma Mouzon.
Hey there, this is Big Trigger, host and producer of Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, and you are currently listening to ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tanya Maria, your host, and we tonight have Alphonse Mouzon and Emma Mouzon with us. And Alphonse, question for you. The drums, was that something you just picked up? Who were your influences growing up?
Well, God. God still is. God is back. I just started playing the drums when I was 4 years old. 5 years old, I had my own toy drum. It was just up naturally. Just the impulse to hit. Since I used to beat up my little sister, Elvina. She was 3 years younger. So I guess if I was five, she was two, fighting. Anyway, but I always liked to hit things. So I would play, you know, the table, the chair, the glassware, pots and pans. I figured, okay, I had all this energy, give them some drums. So I had a toy drum, a tin drum toy, but I played, I loved it. For Christmas, I remember getting that. And I made my own drums out of boxes and peach cans.
Mm.
I would drill holes on the side and pick pose lines, you know, or hangers, you know, the wire hanger.
Yeah.
And make bongos. And I chopped wood and made my own sticks or clubs. More barbaric caveman type of drums, it was funky. And it didn't look pretty, but it sounded good. Made my own clubs, drumsticks, and I was, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old doing that until I got a real drum, side drum, when I went to ninth grade, and then the rest was history. But I knew how to play drums, but, you know, when I was 12, you know, played a set of drums. I didn't have my own drums, but, you know, I played other people's drums until I was 14, and I went on the road with my band director and his band. Well, the older guys there, I guess they were in the 30s or 40s, and I was like, you know, 14, 15, 16. Yeah. And I got the same pay. I got the same equal pay.
You have the same what?
I got the same money, the same pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
it was like $20 a night back then. That was a lot of money because my mom, she raised us. So she made like $40 a week. So I made like $20 a night.
Yeah.
Playing music.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of money back then.
Absolutely. After drums, because obviously you're a multi-instrumentalist, so what was the next instrument that you started playing, and how did that evolve?
Well, what happened was I was in the school, high school band, so they had a timpani there. So actually I played the percussion, the xylophones and stuff like that, and the xylophones like keyboard, so I went from that to piano. So I started messing around with the piano in high school. And so I was 17 years old then, 16 to 17, messing around with all the instruments I could get my hands on. And when I went to New York at 17, I got out of school, and then I turned 18 in November. So I moved in with my aunt, Aunt Estelle, and bless her soul. And she, her and my cousin, Tammy, God bless, Gertrude, God bless her soul as well. And after 2.5 or 3 weeks, I wanted my own, you know, I wanted some autonomy because I was in New York. So, because I came from Charleston to New York with, like, I tell people, my clothes, drumsticks, a chicken sandwich, and $40. After 3 weeks, I got my own place right down the street, but only the 300 feet away on the right side of them, and It had a piano inside. I was blessed to have a piano inside this flat. It was only $12 a week back then. And I was living there when I joined Weather Report and McCoy Tyner and Roy Ayers, too.
Right.
After 3 weeks there, no drums, I heard music playing. Not in my head, but downstairs, 40 feet away. So I ran across the street, and it was the Ross Carnegie Orchestra playing in a basement that he owned. This black guy owned it. He was an organ player. Not a great organ player, but he was a great businessman. So he had like 3 or 4 different orchestra a night going under his name, Ross Carnegie Orchestra. And they would play all the big ballrooms in New York, even the Astoria Manor Hotel, the one that did film Coming to America with Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
And that hotel, I used to play that hotel frequently. So I walk across the street, and I heard the band play, and knock on the door in the basement. They let me in. I introduced myself, and said, I'm a drummer. And the guy said, oh, yeah. So looking for work. And the guy, they had me sit in. So I sat in with Ross and played a groove. He played like a shuffle kind of thing, a swing. I give him my old Charleston, South Carolina groove, and he just started smiling. He smiled immediately. That's what I teach my kids now, drum students, how to groove like that. Get a job immediately. I got hired right on the spot.
That is some good history.
Yeah. You say, okay. But see, the catch was I was a drummer, and I didn't have drums, but I was a drummer and roadie. I had to dress up in a tuxedo and help move organs. And I get to play some songs tonight because the regular drummer was Frankie Dunlop. He was a drummer with Thelonious Monk. And I hadn't heard of Frankie Dunlop. I don't think I'd heard of Monk then.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. So the guy I played his drums was Monk's drummer. You know, it was amazing.
We're going to listen to one more cut for 11th House, and then we'll move on to your history with Weather Report. But I also want to ask you about, before we go, about McCoy Tyner, your time playing with him as a pianist, and his 30-minute songs. Tell us about that.
McCoy was right after Weather Report and prior to the 11th House.
Mm-hmm.
Different types of music, you know. And then before Weather was that you, Roy Ayers Ubiquity, I played with him. And then Chubby Checker before that.
Who haven't you played with, Alphonse? I mean, my goodness, the list goes on forever. I'd like to acknowledge someone who's on the line, holding patiently, Gary Tyson from WHPK.org, Chicago's radio station. He is a host there and also a member of our network. And I'm going to bring him into the call in a little bit because he is a fan of Mr. Alphonse Mouzon, so he wants to say hello, and we'll have him spend some time with us for a little bit. But before I go, Emma, a question for you. What instruments do you play or learning or share with us?
Well, of course the drums, you know, because of my dad, but also some piano, violin, and a little bit guitar. Definitely want to get more into guitar. It's really great, so definitely.
That is great. What is your favorite instrument? Do you have one?
Favorite to play would probably be the violin, but my favorite to hear can also be the piano as well sometimes.
That is interesting. My favorite instrument to hear, because I don't play any instruments, but are the piano and the violin as well. I just love that.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
I said, yeah, the instruments are beautiful. Very nice sound.
They are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call. Say that again. I'm sorry, Emma.
I said in singing, of course. Can't forget that one.
That's right. Your vocal cords, the greatest instrument that you've been blessed with. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to dial is 949-209-2956. And you're listening to blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. And my name is Tanya Maria, your host. Gary, hang in there. I'm going to get to you right after the song. And this is another Alphonse Mouzon beautiful creation here from 11th House. It's called The Funky Waltz. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Reminds me of that. Wall.
Yes. No, I'm here looking at my notes because I have so many notes. But before 11th House, because I understand the release, the debut album release was in 74. But before, and then Mind Transplant was also in 74. But before that, you connected with Wayne Shorter with Odyssey of Iska.
That was in 70, just before Weather Report.
Right, exactly.
Eugene McDaniels, before that. That's what happened. God bless his soul, he died last year. Yeah, he called me, too. I'd spoken to him 8 months prior to his transition, passing. He wrote 100 Pounds of Clay. He sang back in the 60s, then I Feel Like Making Love. He said, Prepared to What? You know, Gene McDaniel, great songwriter and guitarist. You know, so I recorded with him, and also Miroslav Vitas from Weather Report. Before it was Weather Report. Me and Miroslav was playing with Eugene McDaniel at the Apollo. The same night, Cannonball Adderley was there with Joe Zawinul, who knew Miroslav Vitas from Czechoslovakia and Vienna. Joe's from Vienna. And so they knew each other from competition and stuff because he was a judge at a competition. So he saw Miroslav and me on the stage together and remembered that I already 3 months ago recorded the Odyssey of Iska with Wayne Shorter. So he putting two and two together.
That is awesome. Now, because of that, that's when you signed with Blue Note, right? Was that the connection there with Blue Note?
No, that came about when I was with McCoy Tyner. I was always used to George Butler, God bless his soul. He was a black producer, executive, working, you know, when I lived in New York. And I always used to go to Blue Note Records and put my pictures up in his office, like I was the artist, one of the artists. I guess I have to see my picture up there. He signed me. I was Tenacious. That's the name of my record company. But I was even more Tenacious there when I was 19, 18.
Yeah, you are Tenacious, and that's definitely a virtue.
I brought my black and white photo and put it on his wall.
Oh, my. Now, you mentioned Feel Like Making Love by Eugene McDaniel. Now, I understand Roberta Flack was your girlfriend.
I thought about that when I said that. I go, oh, no.
See, I wasn't going to let that slide.
Yeah, I go. Because you can't mention that without mentioning Eugene McDaniels and then mentioning, okay, people know, you know, that's an ex-girlfriend, you know Roberta, yeah. You know.
And you played on Feel Like Making Love, right? You played on
that. Yeah, I played on that record, on her album, Atlantic, yeah.
That is great.
I used to go in the studio wearing no shirt, you know, and I had all, you know, the body back then. So all I had to do was play my drums and just wink my eye, and I was this, you know, something.
You are funny.
She was 10 years or 12 years my senior, but, you know, it was cool. It was fun.
Okay. You're a beautiful lady, and you're a beautiful man, so it's all good. Okay, well, let me bring Gary on the line right quick. Let's see. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hello.
How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing fine, Alva. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm out here in sunny California. It's nice.
Okay, well, we can use some of this warm weather here in Chicago, even though we're going to get out probably later on during the week, but right now it's a little cold here.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's okay, but later on during the week you're supposed to get a little warmer, so that's fine.
All right.
Alphonse and Emma, Gary is a host of WHPK.org, a radio station in Chicago. And as I mentioned, he's a member of our network, and he just loves the work that you did, Alphonse, in Mind Transplant with Billy and Tommy Bowen. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he was the guitarist for Deep Purple and worked on the Spectrum album with Billy. How do you pronounce Billy's last name?
Cobham.
Cobham.
Cobham. Okay. Yeah.
Cobham. There we go.
Cobham.
Oh, all right. So Gary asked me to play one of the Mind Transplant songs with Tommy. So when I invited him to join us because of, you know, he plays a lot of great music on the station, and being a member of the network, I thought that would be nice for him to join us. So welcome, Gary. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. And it's a pleasure talking to Mr. Mazan, because, again, some people probably wouldn't know, but when I first started with WHBK back in 1985, I had a jazz show, and at that time I was playing a lot of fusion. So I was playing the 11th House. I was playing, you know, your stuff as a solo artist, and Weather Report, and Billy Cobham. I mean, all the great fusion music that came out in the 70s and 80s. So I was pretty much a part of that. And even though my music selection has changed over the years and everything, but still, jazz fusion is still, you know, a part of my heart to the day, because that's where I sort of started playing music on WHBK then. And when Tiny Maria had told me that you was going to be a guest of the show, I said, well, I had to call in. I'm glad that she invited me. So I just wanted to just say, hey, I've enjoyed your music over the years and still enjoy it to this day. So it's a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the support.
Thank you. You know, because the thing is, even though jazz has changed, you know, over the years and everything, especially even though I'm not a huge fan of smooth jazz music per se, but I've always tried to incorporate jazz fusion even to the day. I even still play a couple of jazz fusion songs in my show. Even every now and then I might do a whole jazz fusion show to let people know that, hey, there's some great music back then. You don't hear it anymore these days. You do hear, you might hear it in commercials and things like that, but you don't hear it like you would back in the days. And
I know.
It's a missing art.
It is, because one of my recent students, drummer and guitar player, he plays multi-instruments, he was wondering, any hope, his name is James Musser, any hope for fusion, because he's got some stuff that he's been working on for years. And I told him, yeah, just keep doing it. Don't give up. You know, there are stations in Europe and there are stations here. They're not many, but, like, they're not many fused, smooth jazz stations. They went from 200-something stations to maybe, like, 20 or 10 now, if that.
Correct.
My last record is not fusion or smooth jazz, you know, although I have some smooth jazz, but it's smooth jazz with not really smooth jazz. Smooth jazz with a kick, you know, with real drums. And so it's like, you know, like it was back in the 70s, you know? You know,
right. It's
more upbeat and it's real music. You know, I mean, just organic. And but my last record, Angel Face with my daughter Emma, that's a straight ahead record with everybody that's on it, all star record.
Right, because matter of fact, you might know a friend of mine. I think she had interviewed you a year ago, Gigi Brooks.
Yeah. Gigi, I know Gigi very well. Both him and I.
I know.
And she played.
Yeah, I know.
Angel. She played.
Right, because matter of fact, she had told me about it. As a matter of fact, when I first started HBK, I pretty much gave her first start as doing jazz, and she kind of pretty much just ran with it, and she's still doing, you know, very well to this day and everything. So, you know, I have to really thank her for, you know, pretty much reconnecting, you know, your music to me again. Because, again,
right. We
don't hit it here in Chicago, because the thing is, music, you know, like I said, has changed, and even radio has changed a great deal. And the thing is, unfortunately, the only way you really can find good music is listen to internet radio. And I've been trying to tell people for a long period of time. I think now they're starting to pretty much pick up on it, because, as a matter of fact, we have a smooth jazz station that's, as of tomorrow, would no longer be. For some strange reason, you know. But
what kind of
thing is it?
Wow.
And, you know, thing is, you know, if they, well, you know, I try to somewhat educate people, let them know that, listen, you know, you need to go back. I mean, not just to the straight-ahead jazz music or anything, but the jazz fusion, you know, before the smooth jazz pretty much took over, because when you listen to smooth jazz station, they pretty much don't play no fusion at all. I mean, they play very light. They don't really go very deep. And they kind of, in my opinion, they kind of discriminate, and I think it's very unfair for them to do that.
Right. That's true. Yeah,
because right.
See, when yep. Fusion was at the helm, we were being played on all stations, jazz stations, the ones that were more adventurous, some funk stations, but mostly rock stations were playing the fusion because we were rock guitars. We were closer to rock, and they would play it. You know, big rock station would play the 11th House, you know, Return to Forever, Miles B. Snow, you know, John LaPonte, you know, Michael Urbanic groups, you know.
Right, exactly. I mean, definitely. I mean, I know the rock station was definitely playing the jazz fusion music because that's why I really started paying close attention when I. Because what really got me jazz fusion was pretty much I got kind of a little bit tired of disco music. The disco music was pretty much was on the upswing, and I needed something different to hear. And that's why I started really discovering groups like Return to Forever and Jean-Luc Ponty and.
Yeah.
Other artists or anything like that, so I started really paying close attention. That's why I said, hey, that's what I want to start doing, start incorporating, you know, these artists I was hearing that I thought their music was great, and I was trying to get them exposure as well.
Yeah, but you know, the disco, the dance stuff in '79, you know, and that's when the last of it, you know, in '80 had a downfall, but it's going strong now with the groups. But I made most of my money back then in '79 with my disco group, Poussey, P-O-U-S-S. I was the creator of that. And I remember Sheila E. said, "That's you? I didn't know that was you." Yeah, the French stuff. I'm speaking French, and I had the girls on the cover. And a background singer, I played most of the instrument. I had some of the Brecker Brothers and different people, jazz guys. And strings, so it was European, American strings, band stuff. It was awesome. And they're still playing it. They're still being played everywhere. I'm going to do a remake of that because they make it, you know, Lady Gaga and Katy Perry, they're doing the disco dance stuff. I did that back in the 70s with Poussey, my group. Come on and do it. That ooh la la, oochie coochie, ooh la la, the dance stuff, that's all me.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you like to
I'm going to remix that stuff. I mean, I'm going to redo it, you know.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, I'd rather you do it than somebody sampling it, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people, they're the ones that pretty much get all the credit, and they don't give the credit from the original source that they use the music from.
Exactly.
But one thing I wanted to add.
Gary, hold on a quick sec. Hold your thought for a minute. I wanted to play one song from Weather Report and then move on to My Transplant, and then we can pick up our conversation. We have a lot of things to cover, but let's just take a quick break and stay with us, Gary. I don't want you to go away, okay?
I'll stay right here.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then the next song you hear will be Umbrellas with Weather Report. And Weather Report, many of us remember Alphonse Bouzon from the original members of the band were Joe Zawinu, Wayne Shorter, saxophone, Miroslav Vitos, I can't pronounce the name, excuse me, electric bass, Ayrton Moreira, the icon of Brazilian culture in percussion, Ayrton Moreira being the husband of Flora Purim, and of course, Alphonse Mouzon on the drums. We'll be right back.
Hey there, this is Big Trigger, the host and producer of Spotlight on Jazz and Poetry, and you are currently listening to ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network.
Stinky Face Music, and you're tuned into ColorPeople.net on Blog Talk Radio.
ColorPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. With us, we have Alphonse Mouzon and Emma Mouzon, his talented daughter. With us also, Gary with WHPK.org, Gary P. Tyson. Emma, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious about your acting. I saw some videos of you on YouTube, and tell me about your upcoming projects. Do you have any acting projects that you are working on, or tell us about that?
Definitely. Well, for acting, not particularly, but for singing, my dad and I are going to be doing something very soon at LACMA, and I've always loved LACMA. LA County Museum of Art, and it's nice singing there and everything like that. But and actually ours coming up soon is the Bakersfield Festival, so definitely everything's going with singing and then schoolwork as well, like AP chemistry, AP calculus, you know, like all the classes, you know, that I'm nearing in, you know, to go into, you know, medical, you know, right now in high school though, to still zero into the science courses and the math.
Okay.
Yeah. And yesterday I actually was invited to this meeting with John Hopkins, which is wonderful, to learn more about the school and to go into the courses, and they're actually one of the only colleges, or one of the few colleges that actually offers a neuroscience as a major, which is wonderful because I definitely want to go into neurology and psychoanalysis by linking that together, so neuropsychoanalysis. So.
That is wonderful, and you've had from birth a visionary and a man who believes that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens
you.
Oh.
Thank you.
So I know you can do all things, and has been that seed has been planted in you. So I'm looking forward to following your career, and I want to extend an invitation for you to be a part of our multicultural artistic network. So I know, Alphonse, you had some trouble creating a page there. I've been told that there were some issues. I hope that would not deter you from trying again and having a page there and being part of what we're doing.
What is that again?
I said joining the network. I understand you had some trouble creating an artist page on the network.
Oh,
and,
yeah. We'll have to try that again.
Yes, please. In chat with us, we have Dream Citadel Media. Baron Parker is a recent member of our network. So, Gary, when you have a chance, say hello to Baron at Dream Citadel Media at the network. Also doing some great things with movies and music. And so we're looking forward to collaborating with them.
Sure.
But back to let's talk about Mind Transplant. It didn't take that long for you to record this album, but tell us about the process of composing and putting it all together, Alphonse.
Well, just, you know, I'm a prolific writer, you know, so back then I just write, and like I do now, I think about who I want on the record and what direction I want to go into. Back then it was fusion rock, and I'd heard Tommy Bolin, God bless his soul. He was 25 when he passed away. He was with James Gang. I mean, after James Gang, he went with Deep Purple. He replaced Ritchie Blackmore as the guitarist. But he had a group called Zephyr in Colorado. When I had seen him in Boulder, yes, we sat in with him, or he sat in with us, me and Larry Coryell. When we had an off night hanging out, I think we went and sat in with his band. And I remember hearing the guitar again. But I had more impression on him when I heard the Spectrum album. I heard the guitar, you know, with him with Billy Cobham and Jan Hammer, keyboardist. And I said, yeah, I want to get that guitar player. And so I had him on Mind Transplant, but I have him playing more stuff. You know, I had him featured him more, you know. And him, but not just him, Tommy Bolin, along with two other guitarists, premier guitarists, Lee Ritenour, you know.
Right.
He played fusion, he played rock, but he was like the top one in the studio. They were top two one musicians. Actually, I was instrumental in getting Lee's deal with Epic Records, because the producer, Skip Drinkwater, who was producing Mind Transplant, got him a deal. So it wasn't through me. He wouldn't have gotten that deal with Epic. I mean, eventually he would have, I'm sure. But they gave him a deal right on the spot. Without featuring him, and I put his picture on the cover. So Lee Ritenour had a face. And Jay Drayton, with Al Jarreau, he had a face too. He was a record. Jay Drayton, a guitar player. So I had three guitar players, and Jerry Peters playing organ. And bass player was Henry Davis, who passed away 3 months ago. I went to his funeral. He was the bass player.
Oh.
On that record, and Henry had just befriended. I had just friended me on Facebook, like maybe 4 months ago or so, and I was great touching bases with him, thinking of, no pun intended, touching bases because he's a bass player. But I told him, thank you so much for playing on Mind Transplant. You made it funky. It wouldn't have been Mind Transplant without you. And then. Find out he passed away. So I went to his funeral. Jeffrey Osborne was there, you know, because they Andrew was in his group, you know, the LTD with Jeffrey Altman and all the members. They were there. So that was how I made that record. I had Henry Davis, Jerry Peters, and myself, and then I had Tommy Bolden, three guitarists. So it was like black, white funk, you know. And the brother, bass and guitar, a bass and drums and piano, you know, keyboards. Then I had Tommy Bolden, you know, and Lee Ritenour and Jay Drayton on guitar. And it worked out great. It was nice balance, it fusion. I mean, classic stuff. I love it. I still listen to it.
Yes, it is. It is. It is definitely a masterpiece. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to play one cut from the album that was featured, Tommy was featured. And then when we get back, we'll continue with this awesome show with Alphonse Mouzon, Emma Mouzon, and my co-host, Gary. Gary, before I go to this cut, did you have a question for Alphonse about mind transplant?
Well, he pretty much answered, because I was going to ask him how did he discover Tommy, and I didn't, like I said, he pretty much answered that question, because I was going to ask him how did he was able to meet Tommy and how he was able to get him to play on the Mind Transplant album. So he pretty much answered that question, so that's very interesting to know.
Yes, indeed.
So,
go ahead, Alphonse.
No, I was disagreeing with him.
Tell me about, before I play, I'm going to play Carbon Dioxide, but tell me about Happiness is Loving You. I just love that. It's so beautiful to me.
Well, you know, I got the romantic side of me always, you know, and that's what gets me in trouble. I write love songs. I love love songs, you know, and I like every kind of song, you know, so just whatever I think, I'm pretty simple. I'm not that complex, but I like to write sometimes complex songs, you know, and some simple songs and melodies. I just posted Anticipation, just me doing impromptu piano solo at Big City Studio. I was there mixing my Angel Face CD. So during the break, when Paul Taverner was mixing, you know, setting up the mix, I would just play piano. This piano has a nice Yamaha piano, acoustic piano there. And I did that last year, so I just put it up a few days ago. Getting a response on YouTube. And it's another side of me, see people see me playing acoustic solo piano for a change. I like the romanticism, and I like everything. I like the funk. I like it all, you know.
Yes,
but
indeed.
My get together, just like with Funky Snakefoot and all my fusion stuff, Man Incognito just came out this week on Soul Brothers Records in the UK that it's released. They got a deal, a license deal from EMI, Blue Note, to release that.
Congratulations.
So I just write and write. Mind Transplant, the music just comes and it's right. And I got so much stuff. I got hundreds of, maybe thousands of songs I need to record. Won't probably be able to do it.
And we are eagerly anticipating everything that you do, you and Emma and the children. And I'm going to go ahead and play Carbon Dioxide and then later Happiness is Loving You. Ladies and gentlemen, we are with Alphonse Mouzon, Emma Mouzon, his talented daughter. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. If you'd like to call in and say hello to myself or any of our guests, the number is 949-209-2956. Again, 949-209-2956. And here is Mind Transplant, Carbon Dioxide, featuring Tommy Bolden. carbon dioxide from Mind Transplant. This album is often regarded as one of the most important and central albums within the field of jazz fusion drumming, and all compositions are by Alphonse Mouzon. It was recorded in Los Angeles, December 4th. There are a few tracks that were recorded on that day, then December 5th and December, all the way through December 10th. So it didn't take that long to get this recorded. So it's a pretty phenomenal album. So we're back. Alphonse, you have something to say?
No, I say thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And actually, this carbon dioxide was a request of Gary, because he wanted, he said, anything that has Tommy being featured, and of course, this album being such a important jazz fusion album for drumming. So there you go, Gary. Happy?
Very happy. I said, brings back a lot of great memories.
Good. I'd like to welcome Della Prozer, if I mispronounced your name, excuse me, in chat. And we also have a very special someone. My dear Charles is also listening, so thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And so moving right along, we want to talk about Angel Face. And she does indeed have has an angel face, beautiful Emma Mouzon, who is featured on the cover of the album called Angel Face, which took 11 years to put together. Alphonse, give us some of the names of the incredible, talented artists that were featured, and how did this concept come about, and the selection of the artists? Tell us about that, please.
Remember earlier when I tell you, you know, like when I tell you, when I write songs, I think of them like the music, like a casting director, because I'm also a screen actor member. I did several films, and so you cast your musicians, it's like a casting director would cast their actors, which would fit the part. You know, if you know the players, it's like a basketball coach, a scout, which guy's going to work good, you know, with the situation. And so with my music, Angel said, who's going to play on that? Sometimes I was indecisive because I had two players that could do it. Like I did two, then and that happened, when that occurred, I even noticed on the record I would have two versions of it. Because they're both are good.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Two versions, because I thought, okay, but he played it good too. I have Bob Minster playing it, the melody on sax, and then one version I have Ernie Watts. So I made sure of an Ernie Watts version, I said, I'll make it a little different, I'll play strings, I'll add a string to it or something, you know? But, yeah, and a different bass part, you know, the same bass part, but a different bass line, you know, different part that he had. Because I have, sometimes I have guys record three takes, you know, four takes of the music and see which one flows better. Sometimes it flows here, it doesn't flow there. I mix them up, but you can't tell, so it's natural. So it's all one piece, you know. That's a little trick I do. Just like if you're acting and you sing your line, you do different takes and you make sure you cut it right so it's just one big flow. And so that worked out great. And it took me 11 years to do this record because going through a divorce and I laid low for a while, you know. I'm still dealing with this stuff now. It's been like 6 years, you know. But I mean, that's right. I had an intake. I didn't divorce 11 years ago, but I divorced like 6 years ago. But, I had this record done, let me see, I started in 1999. And what I did, I went in the studio and started on keyboards with a drum machine, just playing my parts, just playing the keyboards, you know, getting an idea, and then put a little synth bass on there. Then I would come back and put trumpet on there and saxophone. I played the parts, all the parts, right? And I had Wallace Roney come in the studio, and I said, I want you to play the trumpet. And he said, the trumpet sounds good there. I said, well, thank you, but I'm not you. I want you on there, you know?
Right.
He said, well, the trumpet sounded good. I said, well, that's me. I want you to play the trumpet. Although I did play trumpet on one cut, Never Say Never, but I wanted Ron Troni, and it's like I wanted Shunzo Ono to play trumpet, Japanese trumpet player that worked with me in Larry Coryell, the 11th House. And then I wanted Arturo Sandoval, you know, to play on three cuts. So I had also Arturo Sandoval, you know. And so with the saxophone player, I mean, I just put them together. Wallace, you know, he plays mute. So, and then on stepping stone, he's got open trumpet. He's got that Miles thing. That I love Miles, you know. And I recorded with Miles Dingo. Miles wanted me to go with him, join his band one time. You know, he was even banging all my drums with his crutches one time. He came and saw me when McCoy died. And he came to see me because he had found my card and his girlfriend's purse.
Uh-huh.
So he thought something was going on. Because he knew me, I guess, from Weather Report, Wayne Short, and he saw my card and his girlfriend's purse, and they came down on crutches. He had wrecked his Ferrari, so he was on crutches, right, one of his Ferraris.
Yeah.
So he came to the Vanguard to see me play because he had seen the girl card. There's the drummer, Alphonse was done, and my telephone number and everything, because I had met her early that week.
Uh-huh.
I told her that I was playing at the Vanguard with McCoy Tyner. So she showed up at the gig with Miles. And Miles said, get away from me.
Oh.
And started screaming. He heard me play and reach over with his crutches and was pounding on my bass drum. The audience looking up, who's that? And so Miles Davis beating my bass drum with his crutches.
Oh, hell.
You know, towards boys.
Well, you all ended up being good friends. Say that again?
He was trying to get me to leave McCoy Tyner. I wouldn't do it. And he came back the next night. And I don't know if you can curse on this station, but he said, I'm on your case, mother. You know what?
Uh-huh.
He looked at me. I'm on your case, mother effer. I went, oh, no, he's going to woo me into his band. He wasn't giving up. He wanted me. Well, I did a record with him before he passed away. I did Dingo soundtrack with Michelle Legrand.
Yes.
Yeah, we did the Dingo. And I'm featured on drum solo and playing there. That was nice. Little Miles.
Yes, wow. Indeed. Some great history.
But Angel Face, 11 years, I chose all the musicians. Christian McBride, you know, I knew which one I wanted him to play on. Henry Franklin, I know the songs I wanted him to play on. And Darek Liskowitz, the bass player from Poland, he lives there in L.A., I knew which songs I want. The same with Ernie Watts and Bob Menzer, Don Menzer, Anton Roney, that's Wallace's brother, Shunzo Ono, myself, Emma, she was going to sing on Stepping Stone. So I had her do her first part. Vocal parts when she was five. And then later it came about, oh, she's taking vocal lessons now. And she was singing pretty good, you know, without auto-tune at five, you know. So I said, let me put her voice on there on a B-flat, you know, 13th chord, and just start adding harmonies and stuff, like an eight-part vocal. And I had like 40 tracks of her. Just Emma's voice is at age five. I didn't have 40 with her at five, but I had her double at five. And then at age 13, I just double it up. And then at age 12 and 13, so she has like 40 voices of Emma's voice. We're playing singing different harmonies. That's how that came about. And I said, that's good. Like, you know, like Natalie Cole, you know, her dad. I thought, okay,
yeah.
That's all Emma's voices at different ages.
Exactly. That's pretty unique.
Yeah, she can hear her voice. She can tell somebody, you want to hear me at six, at 5 years old? And singing at 12, 13 at the same time. Say, are you crazy? You can hear all the voices together.
That's pretty awesome. Let's listen to Stepping Stone featuring Emma Alexandra Mouzon. And Emma, when we get back, I'm sorry?
She's our future surgeon.
That's right. That's right.
Might be a neurosurgeon or a heart specialist, you know. Yeah, but it's leaning more neurosurgeon now.
So, Emma, when we get back, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So let's now listen to Stepping Stone featuring Emma at the age of 5, 12, and 13 years old.
Thank you.
We are back with Mr. Alphonse Mouzon.
Yeah.
And Emma Mouzon. What a neat concept. I really enjoyed that. I was really blown away when I read that that's what Stepping Stone, how that was put together. So it's pretty awesome. but Emma, you there with us?
Emma, you're on. Yeah, because see, I was talking to you. We were at different places, and now we're at home.
I'm here.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, you can be on your phone. Yeah. Okay, good.
We have just listened to Stepping Stone, and I have two questions for you.
Okay.
Number one being, what is your fondest memory of recording this album? And number two, what was the toughest part of recording this album? If there was something that was challenging to you. So go ahead.
Okay, well, my fondest memory, I actually kind of remember being in the studio as a little girl. It's probably like one of the early studios before, you know, my dad went back, you know, to different studios to record everything and get the final touches in. But I remember there was, like, this little restaurant by one of the recording studios, and I just remember laying on, like, the couch and hearing Dad's music, you know, and just eating some food. But, no, I assume that's when I was recording it, actually, when I was 5. So it's surprising to me that I remember that, but it's a very happy memory. The hardest part, I would say, I don't really think there was a hard part because my dad's been with me here every step of the way. So it's never been a part, you know, where I felt alone in it or anything. You know, I've always had my dad here.
All right. Alphonse, A Labor of Love is what you call this album. And there is a cut by the same name.
Right,
so,
yeah.
I'm going to play that in a little bit. Gary, do you have any questions, any comments?
Well, I'm loving the whole entire show. I'm loving hearing the music. Just one quick question I wanted to ask, Alphonse.
Yes, Gary.
Will we see you come to Chicago anytime in the near future?
I hope so. I'm available. So
okay.
Tell the power
maybe
that be. Tell Oprah,
okay.
She's still there. Tell in Chicago, I'm here.
Well, unfortunately, Oprah, she's not here anymore. She's moved on. But we do have a couple of venues here in Chicago, and like I said, maybe I can, you know, try to convince some of the club owners to try to reach out to you.
Yeah, hook a brother up. Come on.
Okay, I feel I can do it. Like I said, I can do it because, you know, we want to reach out to you. Cause I know it's been a long time since you've been here in Chicago.
Yeah,
man.
I don't the last time I played Chicago, I think I played there with Herbie Hancock. But I've never played with my band, my own band. I have to go back to Chicago.
Yeah, that'd be really nice because, I mean, like I said, I mean, jazz is still around here in Chicago and everything. I said, but, you know, you're still playing music or anything. I'm quite sure people would love to come see you and, you know, play your music.
Yeah, that'd be great because I'm playing around in L.A. now, you know, in different places in California. But I need to in Europe, of course. But I need to play Chicago.
Okay.
In
well,
Detroit,
I'll,
those
I'll,
places.
I'll,
I need, in New York, I need to go back east.
I'll throw it out there and see what happens.
Colorpeople.net in the house.
Let people know. They'll know now. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Colorpeople.net. Yeah.
That's right. Alphonse, who are the members of your band, of your group?
I have on trumpet, I have Bobby Rodriguez, Dr. Bobby Rodriguez, trumpet player in Flugelhorners. And I have Ernie Watts plays with me. And when Ernie's not available, I have Ricky Woodard, Scott Mayo on saxophone. I have Derek Oliver on bass, Joe Bag on acoustic, I mean, piano, and sometimes when I don't use a bass and use a quartet, I have Joe Bag on organ, because Joe's been with me for 6 or 7 years or more.
Okay.
And Emma, and then myself on vocals, I sing harmony with Emma, and drums, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
So it's a sextet, it's a quintet, but with Emma, six, you know. I'm going to start branching out and adding a different song for her to be featured instead of Stepping Stone. So for next gig, I'm going to send some stuff. It might be like a pop song that I might do a jazz arrangement on, you know, have some stuff and have it play that way so it fits in. So I'm going to start thinking about adding that for Bakersfield, a song that features Emma.
I'm going to be in L.A. July 13th through the 19th, and if you are in town, I'd love to meet Emma and you, and if you're playing, I'd love to come out and listen to you, but definitely give you two a big hug.
Yeah, okay, for sure. Definitely.
All right. Okay, let's listen to A Labor of Love, and tell us about
that features Wallace Groney. A muted trumpet, and Derek Olivas on bass, Kenny Barron, Cedar Walton on piano. Yes, I forgot, my piano player on the records are Kenny Barron, legendary piano, Kenny Barron, and Cedar Walton. Cedar Walton is playing on this one. And I'm also playing piano on that record on two cuts on Angel Face. But this is... Cedar Walton, a great, he plays so wonderful, and Derek Olivas on bass, myself on drums, and Labor of Love. It has Bob Minzer, he's the saxophonist with the Yellow Jackets.
Okay.
And Wallace Roney, yeah.
All right.
So the record was A Labor of Love, that's why, you know, anytime you work hard for something, you know, it's a labor of love sometimes. And the reward is the music. It's not, you know, it doesn't have to be all financial, you know, whatever. Although
that's
I spent $90,000 on this record. I probably never recoup it, but it's a labor of love. You do it for the art, you know.
That's right. I totally understand what you mean. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 30 minutes left to this show. We are talking to Alphonse Mouzon and Emma Mouzon, his daughter, and we are truly honored to have him. Thank you for your time, Alphonse. I really am humbled, and Emma, for you know, out of your busy schedule, you've allowed me to be a part of your life for 2 hours. So I'm very blessed and humbled by it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So
of course.
Just wanted to say that. So let's listen to A Labor of Love. It's about 7.5 minutes. And it's by Angel Face, the latest release, featuring Emma Alexandra Mouzon. We'll be right back.
Labor of Love from Angel
yeah.
Face. Beautiful.
It sounds so good.
It's so nostalgic, so dreamy, so beautiful.
Yeah, I just sat back as like a listener, and just listening.
Yeah.
I say that's pretty good.
Yes, indeed, it is.
You know, Bob Minster, you know, and Wallace, the sound, and Kenny Barron, Garrick, you know, just the way it just flows, you know, it's great. Yeah, you know. And the drummer wasn't bad too.
So, you know, yeah. Our network, there are many faiths that are represented by our network. We have all kinds of artists from all walks of life, but we, you and I, share a common faith, which is our faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is, for it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And I am curious to ask you, how long have you been a Christian?
I was born and raised a Christian in Charleston, South Carolina. So,
okay.
You know, I'm a Southern boy. South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. You know, so I said, you know, born again, but I will always, was always. You know, you just renewed your faith, you know, but... You know, but it's like what you practice every day, things you do, you know, not musically, just how you treat people, how you want people to treat you, and just things you do, what God expects you to do, and be kind to people. You should always honor your neighbors, do things. It's like the girls today, you know, Emma,
mm-hmm.
class, you know, they had this project for this calculus, AB calculus. She's a 10th grader, but the girls, both girls are... I think 12th, well, one senior, yeah. And I think the other girl, she's Filipino, she's an 11th grader. And the Korean girl is a senior, so we have to pick her up, you know, because she doesn't live too far from the Grove or near Farmer's Market in Hollywood. Because that's where Emma wanted to shoot it, you know, near the clothing store. And she had this thing, you know, the housewives of, they call it,
trigonometric function.
Oh, yeah, you're on the line. Kind of like, yeah, you can explain it. And so she wrote the whole script. She's really a good script writer and plots and what to do. She didn't have even the camera angles. She's telling me what to do. I'm her father. She knows. She knew the whole thing. You know? I'm filming this thing. I'm producing it. So I have to edit, but Emma knew it. And so she had this whole thing down, exactly what she wanted to do. And so... the girls had, we did like 2.5 hours, so I gave my time. That's what you do. You help. With all the Emma's project, you saw on YouTube, her doing the Fritters Critters, that was in 7th to 8th grade for math or something. What kind? I forgot
it
that.
It was English.
English.
Commercial.
And so I did those. And a lot, everything that I've done, you know, for my daughter, of course, and kids, my boys. But boys are not boys anymore. They're men. They're grown men. But the girls needed to go home, so she was going to take a bus. And I said, no, we'll just drive you to Van Nuys. So I you know, it wasn't a different direction. But I took the Korean girl back home because we had picked her up. And then the Filipino girl, I took her back to Van Nuys, you know. And that's something you do. I'm not going to let her take three buses, you know.
That's
Christian would not let a person do that.
That's right. Well, you are also a cancer survivor. You talk about that on your Tenacious Records website. And so it's really beautiful to see all that you stand for and all that you represent and the testimonies that you give, and you know, so it's as a believer myself, it's really a blessing to have you be a part of what I'm doing and to be a little small part of what you're doing.
No, you're a big part. You're spreading music, and that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
just
you.
A different vehicle, just a different way. I'm doing playing, and you spread it by playing. We're both playing it.
That's Now, in 92, you formed Tenacious Records.
Yes, right.
And you have top 10 CDs under that label, independent label. Now, what, when
did
you start?
Yeah, I did it for me, yeah. It's an outlet for my stuff. You know why? Because I'm tired of getting ripped off. And even to today, people still try to rip you off.
That's too bad.
Anything they can get for free, they'll get it, you know? Even if it's YouTube, you know, every other day there's something illegal, unauthorized, it'll upload.
Yeah.
I have to take it down constantly, you know, because now they put it up there, people can download stuff, so that hurts income.
Right, that's right.
You know, if they make a CD of it, they make a CD and they don't buy it. So, wait a minute, no. So
okay.
That's why I have to police that stuff. That's like a 24-hour job sometimes. Yeah,
well, we
always,
have...
you know, I see whole albums up. I go, what? And you'll see Warner Brothers taking them down, other companies too. They see people just download stuff, you know, think it's free.
Right.
You don't walk into a bakery and say, okay, and the guy gives you a piece of a cake. That's like a sample, right? He doesn't give you the whole
right.
cake. He'll give
that's
you a,
right.
maybe you're lucky if he gives you a whole slice, but he'll give you a piece of it. You know, go to Costco. Not going to get the whole cake to eat and then decide if you're going to want it. Why buy it if you get it for free? The same thing with music. Why buy it when you're getting the whole song downloaded for free? But if you hear a little sample, 3 seconds or a minute, see if you like it. It's like on iTunes. They don't give songs away. You go on iTunes, you hear a minute the most, and then you buy it. They're not going
right.
to let you play the whole song and, you know,
right.
see if you want to buy it, you know.
Well, we have less than 15 minutes left of the show. Emma, you have another question for you.
Okay.
Your collaboration with your brother on the
the main attraction. Yeah.
Thank you. The main attraction.
Yeah.
was her older brother?
My oldest brother. Yeah, Alphonse.
I work with Jean-Pierre when he comes to town. He's in. Forrest, he used to be in Vallejo, but he's in the Coast Guard, and he programs stuff. So he does beats for people, Grizzly Beats. And he's doing pretty well doing that, you know, programming beats, hip-hop.
So I'm planning to, before we say goodbye, I'm planning to play You Look So Sad song from the Main Attraction album. And we really get a good feel of your voice, and you have such a sweet voice. So
thank
voice,
you so
yeah.
much. Thank
yeah.
you.
You're welcome. Tell us briefly, Alphonse, you have a drum school in Northridge, California. Tell us how that...
yeah, I teach out of my little studio, and I got students come, female, male drummers, you know, I teach them how to read, how to play funk, fusion, and some people come, you know, because they want to meet me, get autographs, and hang out, because that's a lesson, too, and so... And so, but I teach, you know. So maybe I see you. I'll give you a drum lesson.
I would be honored. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take you up on that.
Yeah, I have you swinging, playing funk. Yeah, you're from Brazil. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I wanted to touch on briefly on your acting career. In 96, you did That Thing You Do with Tom Hanks, which was right after the birth of Emma. Tell us some of your acting experience and some of the movies
you did. Well, I did, acting-wise, I did, before That Thing You Do, I did something, I forgot, The Lostbergs. That's in Germany. It was like a TV series in Germany, and I just did an on-camera thing at a club.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, but I studied at Lee Strasberg in Hollywood, you know, school of acting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In New York, I was majored in drama and minor in music, you know, because I already played music. So I did that in New York. And I came out here, California, and I studied at Lee Strasberg. But I just stick with my music because I didn't want to give that up and be a starving actor trying to go on call. So I stayed with my music. Until I got a call to do, I think, what's the first movie I did? What's first? Yeah, it was That Thing You Do, and then I did First Daughter with Michael Keaton, Kenny Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Dukes. Oh, yeah, that was a good role. The Dukes just came out a few years ago. And my neighbor, Robert Darby, we're good friends, you know. I met him in a neighborhood, and he's from Die Hard and the Goonies and stuff. And so we met. He said, you know, I want to do this movie. And he had Willie Bobo, who was a good friend of his back in the day before Willie passed. And he said, I was writing the script since he lived in New York, and he thought, have Alphonse Mouzon do it, because, you know, he's a fan of Weather Report. And you know, I met him right in front of a Whole Foods, you know, going to the post office. And I said, I quoted one of his scenes from Die Hard. You know, my name was Agent Johnson. That's my partner, Johnson. He laughed. And I told him who I was, and it was it. So it was like buddies. And I'd go over to this place, and he's Italian, and I told him I could cook pasta better than him. So we had a cookout contest, and I had to get his family. Two grown men. He said, you guys are stupid. Grown men. You know, he plays a tough bad guy. I said, well, don't pull that with me. You know, and he had me bring my own utensils and stuff, you know. I said, okay, I'll bring my own stuff. I'll bring my own cheese, grated cheese. I get food from Italy, my wine, everything. I'm going to make my own pasta. It came out to a draw, you know.
Oh, boy.
And there for hours cooking. Robert Darby and Alphonse Mouzon have a cookout.
Well.
But, I did that movie called The Dukes. Robert Darby, Chaz Palminteri, Peter Bogdanovich.
Mm-hmm.
And Ilya Baskin, he played the landlord and Spider-Man, the Russian guy.
Uh-huh.
You see there?
Yeah.
Where's my rent? He's in it, you know. Yeah. Good movie. It's a comedy drama. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we just scratched the surface of this wonderful career that you have.
Go to tenaciousrecords.com and everything's
That's
there, music
right.
and the bio, pictures of Emma, Alpha, Jean-Pierre, everybody.
That's right.
Tenaciousrecords.com.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah,
colorpeople.net. Yeah.
That's right, colorpeople.net. I appreciate your time once again. Gary, thank you so much for joining us, for being part of this show, and feel free to sample any of this stuff, to, you know, and play it on your station.
Oh, for sure, definitely.
Read the word.
That's right.
Yeah. So before we close, we're going to be hearing from, so what cut are you going to play from the main attraction? Now, the main attraction is for my oldest son, Alphonse Philippe, right? And
yeah.
Alphonse Philippe Mouzon, he was the little boy in the movie with called Lethal Weapon. It was Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson,
yeah.
And Danny Glover.
Yes.
He was a blonde. He had a blonde afro. He was blonde then, and green eyes, green blue eyes. Little boy, and say, don't tell me your name, Alfred. You know, the little boy's on the fire truck. The first Lethal Weapon. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Emma, do you have any final thoughts before we say goodbye? And the last cut I'm going to play is the main attraction. You look so sad with your brother.
Thank you. Just to thank you for having us. It's been an honor as well to, you know, get to speak to you and, you know, get to talk about everything. So thank you.
And, yeah, just tell them, go out and buy the CD, because all the proceeds go to Emma's college fund. So she goes to Harvard and Johns Hopkins University, Medical University.
That's right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Buy the CD.
Yes, buy the CD. That's right. Tenaciousrecords.com. Of course, Alphonse Mouzon is everywhere in the world, so you can find him anywhere you look.
Just look up Alphonse Mouzon homepage, you'll find me.
That's right. Again, Gary, thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us. All of you in chat, Dream Citadel Media, my dear friend, Lassandra, Della Prozer, all of you who support our network, this is indeed a labor of love for me. I really enjoy what I do. You know, I get to meet wonderful people such as our guests tonight, and our network is really geared towards bringing quality stuff, for lack of a better word. I'm just going to call it stuff, but no, just wonderful artists, wonderful
history, and that's what we're here for. So I'm going to leave you all with Emma and her brother, Alphonse Philippe Mozon, in his album The Main Attraction, You Look So Sad.
And
Alphonse?
Yeah, I produced this, yes. And I'm playing all the instruments you hear are instruments by me that I'm playing, and Emma's doing the vocals. So, and I'm going to cut Sharon T. from the Philippines, he's singing on it. And my son, Alphonse, wrote the lyrics, and he's doing the rapping. So it's hip-hop, old-school hip-hop with some rap and, you know, mixing up a little. So depending on what cut you're playing, because some of the stuff has funk and rock, you know, so it depends on what song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, stop by coloredpeople.net. Our main site. You can view, actually, you can enter into our network and see the homepage at least, and subscribe to our blog where you will be notified of our next show. Right now I have nothing scheduled, but I'm planning to have some poetry, and our focus this year is to bring in artists from all over the world. We have recently Kapil from Delhi, from India. He is a renowned guitarist from India who just joined us as part of our network. We're going to be doing some stuff together. So, you know, thanks for all your support. And I'm going to leave you with The Main Attraction, You Look So Sad. Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Alphonse. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful girl, even when you wake up, it's who you are, no need to put on makeup.